Today we continue our 5-week study on John chapter 6. And our Lord says in the gospel today, "This is the work of God. Believe in the one he has sent." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, about 300 years before our Lord was born, there lived a man by the name of Anthony, 19 years old. He had both parents together, and they were both very religious, very Catholic people, and also very rich. But they met with a tragic end one day when they died in an accident. So, Anthony found himself at the age of 19, all alone, but being one of the richest men in all of Egypt. And so, yes, Anthony was not a particularly good Catholic, but he did always make it to Mass every single Sunday. But he, because of his newfound freedom and his newfound wealth, he did live a little bit more of a reckless lifestyle. It was for that reason that one day, when he was going to Mass, he found himself showing up very late to Mass. In fact, he didn't even make it to Mass until the gospel was being proclaimed. But when he walked in, the deacon was proclaiming the gospel of the rich young man. The rich young man speaking to Jesus. And as soon as he entered in, he heard the words of Jesus speaking to that young man, saying, "If you wish to be perfect, first go and sell all your possessions and give them to the poor, and then come and follow me." Now, when Anthony heard these words as a young 19-year-old man, they had deep resonance for him in his own heart and his life. And so what he did was he left that church, went out, sold everything that he had and gave it to the poor, and then set out into the desert to live life as a hermit. Now, it is because of this young man that we no longer call him Anthony, but we call him Saint Anthony of Egypt, the first monk. The entirety of the monastic tradition in our Christian faith can be traced back to that moment when a 19-year-old man went to Mass late and heard the word of God proclaimed at Holy Mass. God speaks to us at Mass. As we know, we don't make up the words that are given to us here at Holy Mass. The priest doesn't come up here and ad-lib the whole of the service. What the words come from is, the words of the Mass come from the liturgy. And the liturgy is just our public form of worship. It is one of the most precious gifts which God has given the church. In fact, its roots go back to the very earliest times of the church, back to the very apostles, and each successive generation leaves its mark upon the liturgy as the Holy Spirit gives them the inspiration to move deeper into what it is that we do and pray in our worship of God. But the liturgy can be divided into two parts, the first part being the liturgy of the Word, and then the liturgy of the Eucharist. The liturgy of the Word begins with the sign of the cross and goes on to the prayers of the faithful. The liturgy of the Eucharist begins with the offertory prayers and goes on to the closing prayers of Mass and the closing blessing. The liturgy of the Word is centered here upon the pulpit. The liturgy of the Eucharist is centered upon the altar. It is in the liturgy of the Word that we are fed by the very Word of God through the Holy Scriptures. And it is in the liturgy of the Eucharist that we are fed by the very flesh and blood of God within the Eucharist. Today, I think it is important for us to focus upon that first part, the liturgy of the Word, because this is where God speaks to us. We began Mass with the penitential rite and the Kyrie. So the first thing that we do when we begin our prayer, when we begin our praise of God, we first admit to Him that we are unworthy even to be here. That we are unworthy to enter into God's presence, and how much we need God's mercy in order to be able to take this next step into praising God in this holy place. Thus, the priest, what he does is he prays for us and leads us in the prayer, confessing our sins. Here we recognize our unworthiness is because of my fault, through my most grievous fault. And then we beg the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the angels and saints. And we even ask those who are within the pews there next to us to pray for us so we may be worthy of these promises of Christ. I hope that when we pray that prayer at the beginning of the Mass, that we do pray for one another, because each of us are in the same boat. Each of us are needing God to encounter our hearts and our lives to make us worthy to enter into these sacred mysteries. Then we call out to God with that beautiful hymn of the angels, saying, Kyrie eleison. This is where we ask our Lord to have mercy upon us as we place all our hope and all our trust in Him, saying, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Of course, we know that when we do this dialogue in our prayer, this doesn't take the place of sacramental confession. When we do that, it doesn't forgive mortal sins. It doesn't give us the graces that sacramental confession offers us. But what it does do is it garners for us the forgiveness of all our venial, all of our light sins. And it gives us the graces which we need in order to perk up our ears, to hear God, to open our hearts, to let Him enter into us, that we may be worthy of following Him in the sacred mysteries. Then what we do is immediately we launch forth from that into the hymn of praise of the glory of God, the Gloria, singing glory to God in the highest. You know that this hymn, this phrase, comes from the angels. The angels, when they first announced the birth of our Savior on that first Christmas morn. It's 17,000 years old, this prayer. And what it does is it recounts for us all of the salvation history that has led up to this point that makes us worthy to enter into God's presence. Because God has done all these mighty things for us, we can enter into the Holy Mass. And then we are prepared to enter into our opening prayer, which in liturgical terms we call the Collect. Now, this prayer summarizes the particular mystery that we enter into on this particular Sunday or this particular feast day. But where does the liturgy come from? The liturgy of the Word comes from, you might be surprised to know that it actually predates Christianity. It goes before that, because where it comes from is from the ancient synagogue service of the Jews. The Jews, what they do is they read the scriptures. The rabbis would preach, expounding and explaining the scriptures, and then prayers would be offered to God in response to those same scriptures. What the Gospels tell us is that the apostles went to the synagogues all the time, and so it should not surprise us that the first Christians did the very same thing, adding their own Christian prayers, and eventually adding the Christian scriptures to the Mass as well. So the heart of the liturgy, the heart of the liturgy of the Word, is the actual reading of the scriptures, of God's words. And these words which we read in this lectionary, which is what we read from at Holy Mass, we read each week is the Bible, which has just been cut up into little pieces and laced together so that we can do a continuous reading of it all throughout the year. In fact, every Sunday, the Sunday readings are on a 3-year cycle, and the weekday readings are on a 2-year cycle. So if we go to Mass every single Sunday for 3 years, we will have the entirety of the Gospels read for us. We will have the most important parts of the New Testament and the highlights of salvation history given to us in the Old Testament. But if we go to Mass every Sunday for 2 years, what we will have for us is the Gospels read for us 8 times in the full. We will have the entirety of the New Testament opened up forth for us, and the vast majority of the Old Testament. So I find it very interesting when some people accuse us as Catholics as being ones who hide the scriptures from the people. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, we go far more and have more scripture than our Protestant counterparts do in their services. Because the priest doesn't get to choose the readings on his own. He's held to the lectionary. And which means that he can't just stick to his favorite parts of scripture. He can't just hide from those things which he feels uncomfortable with, or which seem to challenge him or are just hard to interpret. He has to go through it all. Go through it all. And so we have this great gift as being Catholics of being able to go through the full of the scriptures. So if we are faithful to going to Mass each and every Sunday, we will always find something new, exciting, and intriguing to move our hearts into the deeper relationship with God. So we have in our Mass what? The first reading, which is usually taken from the Old Testament. The second, which is the Psalm, which is, they're basically the hymn book of the Bible. The third reading we do is the reading from the New Testament. And then we have the Gospel, which is read for us. You know, the Gospel is the most important part of the Liturgy of the Word. And why is this? It's because in the Gospel, we hear Jesus Christ himself speaking to us. Jesus speaks to us in the Gospel. That is why we sit for all the other readings. But it's for the Gospel that we stand up in attention and in reverence, because Jesus speaks to us. All the other readings can be read by any person, any lay person who comes from the pews. But the Gospel can only be read at Mass by the priest or by the deacon. So before the Gospel, we also do a special sign as well, don't we? We make the sign of the cross upon our foreheads, upon our lips, and upon our hearts. And what does this mean? Why do we do that? We do it because we are asking God, bless our minds, that we may be able to understand the Gospel. Bless our lips, Lord Jesus, so that we may be able to speak forth and proclaim this Gospel, not only here in Mass, but also when we leave the church as well. We ask our Lord to bless our hearts so that we may grow to love God's holy Gospel and love the object of God's Gospel, which is Jesus Christ himself. This is why we do this and how we enter into it, because the Gospel is the most important part of the Liturgy of the Word. After the Gospel, what do? We all sit and listen to the priest as he preaches his homily, as he preaches his sermon, which he uses to explain the readings for us. And you know, there was a church one time, church off in some rural area, nowhere near Encino, and where what they did was, there was a young man by the name of Johnny who was always brought to Mass by his grandfather. So they'd come together and they'd sit right up here, right where you all are, right in that second pew. It'd sit that close to the priest. And each and every Sunday, Johnny sighed by his grandfather. Grandfather would, his head would go back like this during the homily, and all of a sudden you would hear, but it was much louder than that. I can't do it as loud as Grandpa was doing it. So there he was. He was just snoring in the homily. And this drove the priest crazy because he couldn't focus on what he was supposed to do because Grandpa was being so noisy with that rancor in the second pew. So what he said, the priest said, I know what I'm going to do. So what he did was, he, at the end of Mass, he made sure to grab young Johnny and say, hey, Johnny, I got a deal for you. I promise to give you $1 every time we come to Mass if you would just jab Grandpa in the side so he doesn't snore. And Johnny was so excited by getting $1 that he said, sure, yes, Father, I'll do anything. So with that deal, that's what happened each and every Sunday. As soon as Grandpa's head in the Mass would go back, Johnny would jab him in the side, and then there would be no snoring during Mass. This continued for a month. Father was very happy with this. But then what happened? A month later, went there, and Grandpa's head went back, sure enough. And all of a sudden, he heard that, shh, again, the priest is going, what? What's going on? Isn't Johnny supposed to do this? What is he doing? I got to talk to Johnny about this after Mass. And that's what he did. He went up to Johnny and he said, look, I thought we had a deal. I thought we had a deal. Why didn't you follow through on your end? And Johnny just looked up at Father with a huge grin on his face. And he said, Grandpa told me that if I let him sleep through the homily, he'll give me $5. That goes to show that's a true thing. You know, I completely understand that the homily, this is and can be the most difficult part for us at Mass. It can be so hard to pay attention because some sermons are better than other sermons. Some preachers are better than other preachers. That's just the way it is. And I know, because I myself have sat through many boring, many difficult homilies in my life. In fact, sometimes I myself am very bored by my own homily as I'm preaching. I have to do this 4 times. Who's doing the worst penance? So I understand that this is a difficult thing, but if we listen carefully to God, He will always have something to say for. We can gain great fruit from the homily, even from the poorest homilist, even from the poorest preacher. We can gain great things. Why? Because we ask God to inspire us. That's what I do. When I'm in the midst of a difficult homily, I say, Lord Jesus, just speak to me because I need to hear from you. What happens there is I'm no longer listening to the priest who's preaching, but I'm opening my heart to the Holy Spirit who will have a word or a phrase that will encounter my heart and my life. We can do this, but all we have to do is listen to God, because in the liturgy of the word, God speaks to us. What happens after the homily? We all stand, right, and proclaim the creed. And I think it's perfect. It's so perfect that we proclaim the creed at that part of the Mass. Because what is the creed? This is the Nicene Creed, which is 1,700 years old. And what is this Nicene Creed? It is nothing other than a summary of the Scriptures. That's what the creed is, a summary of what we believe and what the Scriptures hold. In fact, it is the creed is the hallmark of what it means to be a Christian. Because only one can only say the creed, proclaim the creed, if they are a Christian. And if one is not a, if one cannot proclaim the creed, they're not a Christian. They're not a Christian, because the creed is nothing other than a summary of what the Bible has to tell us about God. And we finish Mass, we finish the liturgy of the word with what? With the prayers of the faithful. This is the one part within the entirety of the Mass that is not written down anywhere. It's completely free and open. And this is a beautiful thing because it's the opportunity for us to place our specific needs there. The specific needs of our community, of our family, of our friends, of those who are gathered even here in Encino, to put those to the fore. So that those prayers, those souls that we wish to offer up for, those difficulties that we have in our own hearts, in our lives, with our own family, with our friends, those who have passed on before us who we know need our prayers, we insert them in that place. And it's an opportunity for us to add our own specific intentions. Say, God, I offer this Mass and this Holy Communion for this individual. But how important for us is the Liturgy of the Word? You know, I'm reminded and so moved by the story of an old rabbi. An old rabbi who, at synagogue, every time the reader would read the words, and God said, the rabbi, what would happen is that he would begin to cry. You know, that's a phrase that's very common in the Old Testament, especially. And God said. And so every time the cantor would read that phrase, and God said, this rabbi, a tear would begin to stream down his face, and he became very emotionally moved. The congregation was so concerned with their rabbi, they came to him and said, so rabbi, why is it? Why is it that every time you hear that phrase, and God said, that you begin to cry and begin to weep? So what the rabbi did was he looked at them very intently, very lovingly, but with great intensity. And he said, my dear children, think about it. Think about it. God loves us so much that He speaks to us. God loves us so much that He speaks to us. You know, at every Mass, God speaks to us. God speaks to us just as clearly as He did 2,000 or 4,000 or 6,000 years ago at every Mass. And all we have to do is to sit there and to listen, to be attentive, to allow ourselves to be present and to hear the voice of God as He speaks to us in the liturgy of the word. Because He wants to share His message of love and how He desires for us to have peace and strength in our life. So that we can act upon His great gift and live lives of true happiness and fulfillment. It's all about being attentive to the Word of God. Because in the liturgy of the Word, God speaks to us. Praise be to the Word of God, Jesus Christ, now and always and forever. Amen.